Hi, boys and girls. Man, you're falling asleep on me already. Here we go. Hi, boys and girls. More like it. I don't know about you, but I'm having a wonderful time. I had a fun time this morning at breakfast. There's this nice fellow that we were sitting with, and he asked where I was from. And I said, well, I was born and raised in the Chicago area, and I was telling him about how I remember some things, like when I remember when the John Hancock Building was built, and I can remember when the Sears Tower was built, and things like that. And so he pipes up, and you know what he said? He said, do you remember the Chicago Fire? I thought that was kind of funny. Of course, the Chicago Fire was back in the 1800s, you know, and he was being funny, but I thought that was kind of funny. But that's the good time we're having around here. And as usual, we got something in the backpack, and I believe this time it's the girls' chance. The young lady right there with the stripes, can you come up here? I need somebody that's a little older to do this one. Okay, now, there's several zippers here. It's the big one, the top big one, that kind of goes down here. If you could open it up and pull out what you see. Oh, zip it back up. Thank you very much, young lady. Wow! Cheese puffs! You say, preacher man, what in the wide world's that got to do with today's message? Everything in the world, cheese puffs. I don't know about you, but I love cheese puffs. And as you can see, for this trip, my wife made sure I had a whole great big bag of them. But thanks to this church around here and this camp, I got all these snacks. I haven't opened it up. I might just say this for when I get back home, and my wife, she's going to go like this.
Can I have some cheese puffs, too?
Oh, yeah. Because she likes them, too, amen? Well, anyway, take your King James Bibles and turn over to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. And we're going to find out what cheese puffs have to do with a message. Job 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back to the commandment of his lips. I have seen the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Today I like to talk to you about digesting your spiritual food. Digesting your spiritual food. If you can't put all in there, they're just putting in there reading your Bible. But digesting your spiritual food is what we're going to talk about. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll begin. Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this wonderful opportunity. We pray for these boys and girls that you work in their hearts. Prepare them, Lord, for what you have for them in the future. I pray that they hear your word and your Holy Spirit and not me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. Anybody here don't like to eat? Oh, good, good. Everybody likes to eat. Now, I'm what you call a mild diabetic, so I have to have breakfast. That's why you wonder, this guy's a pig, he's always first. Well, I have to go first because my body sometimes gets a little weak and I have to eat. Well, anyway, I have to have breakfast, I have to have lunch, and I have to have supper. And when I'm energetic like this, I have to have snacks. That's why my wife made sure I had plenty of snacks, you know. But you know how it is. Once in a great while, I get to be at home, and I'm sitting in my easy chair, and we're watching some kind of a DVD like Chefy or The Secrets of Jonathan Fair or something. And you know what happens? I get the nibbles. You ever get the nibbles? Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. So I go, you know, I grab something like this, you know, it's a big glass of ice water, you know, and you're sitting there eating, you get done with these, then you got to go get some peanuts, you know, then you got to go get this. And you know what else is good in the summertime? I'll tell you what's good in the summertime. You might not think so, but I do. Oscar Mayer frozen hot dogs. You say, huh? Oh, don't knock it till you try it. It's good stuff. My dad got me hooked to that when I was your age. Oscar Mayer frozen hot dogs. What you do is you get Oscar Mayer hot dogs, you put them in the freezer, and you take them out one by one, and you eat them just like you would a popsicle. Oh, are they good? Yum, yum, yum. Ew. Hey, don't knock it till you try it. Yeah, when we first got married, I took my wife on our honeymoon and we came back and I bought her some chocolate chip cookie dough, Pillsbury stuff. She thought we were going to bake it. I said, oh no, we're going to eat it this way. She said, ew, so she tried it. You know what? After that, every time we went on a special trip, we had to have chocolate chip cookie dough, huh? Anyway, we're talking about food this morning. It's a good thing you already ate it. Your stomach be growling. But believe it or not, the book you have in your hand is also food. Did you know that? The Bible is your spiritual food. That's right. In this verse right here, Job said, I have seen the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job thought the Bible was so important that it was more important than his physical food. He thought the Bible was very important food to eat, and it is. And I like to compare it this way. This is something my dad taught me when I was about your age or a little older about reading my Bible, comparing it to food, and I never forgot it because it made all the sense in the world, helped me understand to read my Bible better, and then later on when I started memorizing the scripture seriously, it helped me a lot with that, and now I'm the guy that teaches everybody else how to memorize. But you know, it's so important. 1 Peter 2 verse 2. This is Peter talking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He's talking about talking to young Christians and feeding them Bible. Okay? And then these are some of my favorite verses. I got to quote this morning because I had a honey bear with me, but it had sugar-free syrup in it. Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. I'll write that again. Say that again. Some of you are taking notes. Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. My son, eat the honey because it is good, and the honeycomb that is sweet unto thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul, and when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thine expectation should not be cut off. I love that. The Bible compared to honey. Isn't that neat? That is really neat. And then speaking of honey, Psalms 119 verse 103. Psalms 119 verse 103. Three, how sweet are thy words unto thy taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. David thought the Bible was sweeter than honey. And then Psalms 19:10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey in the honeycomb. Here, the Bible is being compared also not unto honey, but to money. The Bible is more valuable than money. Oh, if people would understand that today, that's the problem with the world. They're all money, 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 money. You know what surprises me? When I first moved to Chesterton to go to Bible college 40-something years ago, Chesterton was this nice little town, and now it's grown up and it's got all these people that like to do things with money, 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 money. When I left home, I couldn't believe it. The gas was cheaper on the toll road than it was at home. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's how expensive gas is in our county. It should be like that, huh? The gas is cheaper in Pennsylvania than it is at home. Can you believe that? They're so money hungry. You know why? Because they forgot about this book. And that's why it's so important. Now, this one's really important. Put down this verse. Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know who's speaking here? Jesus. Now let me give you a little clue about this verse. As you well know, we'll talk more about the temptation in the wilderness tonight, but Jesus here was not just quoting a verse of the devil. Yeah, he was. But I want to tell you something, boys and girls. He believed in spiritual food because he lived it. Everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said, every place Jesus went was all according to the Bible. That's right. Now, this is what amazes me. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, most of you and I would be thinking, oh, this is terrible. Oh, it's me, not Jesus. You know what he was doing? He was quoting Bible verses. That's right. He was quoting Bible verses on the cross. Can you imagine that? Like, for instance, Psalm 22, verse 1, most people don't know that, but he was quoting, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And on he went with these verses. And then later on, Psalms 31, verse 5, Father, into my hand I commit my spirit. And he's quoting all these Bible verses. He was thinking about the Bible on the cross. Wow. That's how much the Bible was a part of Jesus. Little clue, that's how Jesus lived the perfect life, amen? So the Bible is your spiritual food. Now, I don't know about you, But I would leave my house in the morning. Of course, I go over to the chow hall here. But I wouldn't leave without having my physical breakfast. I wouldn't leave. Because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to start feeling weak and all that stuff. And I'm going to have to stop somewhere and get a snack or something, you know. But you know what? There's hundreds and hundreds of people every single day in this country that go to churches and say, Amen, hallelujah! They put their money in the offering plate. They say, Oh, how I love Jesus! And you know what they do? They walk out in the morning and they don't have their spiritual food. They don't read their Bible. Wow. And then they wonder why things don't go right. Well, I'll tell you why. They didn't eat. You've heard the doctor, your mom and dad say, you are what you eat. Oh, there's a lot of truth to that, but not just physically, but spiritually. So this morning, we're going to talk a little about reading your Bible, comparing it to eating physical food. Take your Bible to Psalms 92, please. I want to show you something about reading your Bible. Psalms 92, verses 5 and 6. Psalms 92, verses 5 and 6. It says, O Lord, how great are thy works. Now look at the next phrase. It's very important. And thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand this. Notice it says that God's thoughts are very deep. What does that mean? Boys and girls, that means that God's Word was designed to be thought about. You ever heard something that's making a statement and they say, you think about that? Well, that's what the Bible's all about. I don't know who started this, but they've got this thing going now, and it's like this, you know. People get this Bible reading schedule, and they start off January. On your mark, get set, let's go. All right, we start with a look at Genesis. Yes, sir, let's read. Oh, my goodness, we're halfway through, we're not all the way through. We're not done with the meeting. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to keep my reading right in front of us. Oh, let's hurry up, hurry up. Oh, we're heavy there. I did it. I read my Bible all the way through. Question. How much did you get out of what you read? Something to think about, isn't it? Did you know there's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt read that Bible through in 1 year? Some people think so. They think it says thou shalt read that Bible through in 1 year. Then they did not that not whoso, thou shalt surely be backslidden. That's not in there. You know what the Bible says? It says in Psalms 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I got these cheese buds. When I eat these things, do you think I'm going to open up this package, pour a whole thing into a bowl, and then take the bowl and go like this? Oh, Lord, that was good! What else is there? Is that how I'm going to eat them? Absolutely. How am I going to eat them? One at a time, especially these. You know why? They're nice big cheese puffs, you know. And you want to sit there, crunch, and enjoy every juicy bit of it. You betcha, right? Yeah. Guess what? That's how you read your Bible. Nice and slow. You get enough that you can chew up and digest. That's why they don't serve you 100 things for breakfast, okay? You ever gone to a buffet and you look around and see all the food and say, man, I wish I had 6 stomachs. I can't eat all this stuff, you know? And when you do, you walk away, oh, I'm so full. You know why? You stuff yourself. Well, the Bible's not designed like that. The Bible's designed for you to get some food to chew on. A thought from the Bible to read and understand. So there's some days I might read a whole chapter. There's other days I might only read 5 verses. Sometimes I'll only read 2 verses. And once in a great while, I'll only read 1 verse. You know why? That's all I need to chew on. Now, I'll give you an example. One day I was reading in Psalm 119. When I read Psalm 119, there's 176 verses. I don't fly through. It either takes me about 2.5 weeks to get to Psalm 119. I got one day to verse 4. And it says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Whoa! What did this say? Thou hast commanded us. Now, first of all, what does the word precepts mean? That's a big word, isn't it? Let me move down a little bit. It's kind of, there we go. Now, the word precepts means God's moral laws or God's moral way of thinking. In other words, God's laws is the way God thinks. And the Bible says here, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. This is not an option. I thought, wait a minute. I'm commanded to keep what God has in His Word. It's my duty. It's my duty because God commanded it. I thought about that. And then, if that wasn't enough, I got to the end of the verse. Thou hast commanded to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh yeah, remember that. Now, we don't have to do all that stuff about the word immediately over in the chapel. Well, the Bible talking about us being diligent about reading our Bibles. But not only that, not just reading it, but keeping it diligently, diligently. For instance, this morning, one of the nice lady counselors, I'm glad she had brought this to her attention, saw that there were some cups and trash out here in the area here where you guys play here, right in front of the chapel here. And you know what? I like what Brother Speckle did. He said, before we do anything, we got to go back and take care of this and clean this up. You know why? We want to be diligent about keeping the grounds around here clean. Well, you know what? You need to be diligent about keeping God's Word. And I saw that. You know what I did? I thought about that for 4 days. And I wound up memorizing that verse because, you know what? I saw the importance of keeping God's Word. Not just keeping it, but I'm commanded to do it diligently. Wow. Wow. Now, the Bible goes on to say, in a book that maybe some of you have a hard time hearing about, Habakkuk, that's what Habakkuk, or however you want to say it, chapter 2, verse 2 says this, it is said unto me, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run and read it. Now, the word plain here is not talking about like your school teacher saying, now, I want you to write, and I want you to write neat and plain so I can read it. That's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about is making it plain so you can understand it. God told this guy here to say, wait a minute, when you write, make sure you write it so people can understand it. Your Bible was designed for you to be able to understand. I run into several people say, oh, the Bible's so hard to understand. No, it's not. The problem is that they've never been able to learn how to read it. They've never been taught. Yeah, this is making plain. And then Psalm 119 verse 130. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto who? The simple. I like that word simple because you'll find out later on this week that I used to be, still am in a lot of ways, a very simple-minded person. But you know what? So if you're simple-minded, hey, you might be able to understand the Bible better than somebody that might be real, real smart, you know? You know why? Because you're thinking the way God makes. Simply. All you're looking for, boys and girls, is thoughts. And I like this because you notice in your devotions that you're having, I have that booklet too, and I read them along. You notice they're not 16 pages long, are they? Just a couple of pages. You know why? They're wanting you to get just a little bit. Just a little bit, just like if you're going to have cheese puffs, just get a little bit out here and nibble on it a little bit so that you can enjoy it and think about it. And that's exactly what eating your spiritual food is all about. Now here's the next thing. Enjoying your spiritual food. Enjoying your spiritual food. Now, when you have something you enjoy, what do you say? Man, this is good stuff. Yeah! Wow, I like that. That's good. Now, I go to a lot of churches. I'm in about 50 churches every year. And a lot of them like to have these fellowships. You know, and the ladies, you know, they like to fix these special dishes and all that. And they find out I'm a diabetic. So sometimes they fix me even sugar-free cheesecake. And they come up and say, Brother Barker, you've got to have some of the sugar-free cheesecake. We made it just for you. I go over and I have some. Oh, this is good. Well, I'm glad you like it. Would you like to take it home with you? Oh, yes, ma'am. I thought you'd never ask.
You know why? I enjoy it.
That's the way you should do with your Bibles. You should enjoy what you're reading. Now listen to this. A lot of people never comprehended this. If you're reading your Bible and you're enjoying it, how about sharing it with somebody else too? We do that all the time with our food. Hey, did you have that ham last night? Man, that was good stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, I hope they serve some more of that by the end of the week.
Yeah, oh, those brownies, yeah, I didn't have any of those potato sugar, but I'm sure they were good.
Man, those brownies were good, yeah. And you know what? The person next to me to want was so I got seconds. Oh, yeah, that was good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You talk about that wonderful food you had. When's the last time you did that with your Bible reading?
Hello? Your Bible reading? Yeah.
You know what it is today? We've been brainwashed to think of reading our Bibles as boring like this.
Boring.
Now, boys and girls, it's time for you to read your Bibles.
This isn't like watching cartoons, is it?
Don't worry about that. This is your spiritual food. Actually, you know what's happening here? God is talking to you. This is God's way of talking to you. The Bible says in Psalm 72, verse 8, Psalm 72, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. And you know what? I really believe that if they were able to have the Lord Jesus Christ come to camp, walk into this room and step up to this podium, everybody in this room would be all eyes and all ears into what Jesus had to say.
There wouldn't be anybody falling asleep, I can guarantee you that, right?
No. And they'd be on the edge of their seat wanting to hear what Jesus has to say, because this is Jesus talking. Guess what? Every time you open your Bible and you read, guess who's talking to you? Jesus. That's right. This is how we get our instruction. This is how you get your spiritual food. And I take that serious. Now, as you figured it out, I've memorized thousands of verses. But you know what I do when I read my Bible? I forget all about the verses I memorized. And a lot of times I have some of the verses memorized. I forget all about that. You know why? I want Jesus to teach me something. I want to hear something from the Lord because He's the boss. He's the smart guy. He's the teacher, not me. I'm the listener this time. And I want to get something out of it. So I take my time and I let Him teach me something. And that's why a lot of people have a hard time reading the Bible. They've never heard that before. And if you're going to enjoy your Bible, that's what you've got to do. It's so, so important. Here's another verse for you. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I like to claim this verse a lot before I start my Bible reading. Now, most of you are church people, so you've heard this song before.
Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Guess where that song came from?
This verse right here. Isn't that something?
Matter of fact, a lot of the hymns that you sing come right from the Bible. I have a topical reference book I put together, and one of the categories is Psalms Inspired from Scripture. And this is one of them. You ask God to open your eyes. Now what does that mean? My eyes are already open. What it means is to let God let you see what He wants to teach you. Put it in our language. We want God to let you see what He wants you to teach. Now this is the neat thing about this, boys and girls. I love this part. Everybody in here has a different personality. Oh, watch that back here. Everybody has a different personality. Everybody has different temperaments. Everybody has different good points, and everybody has different bad points. And when you open your Bible, God speaks to every one of us personally. Remember last night we talked about God being interested in every one of us personally and how we treat God is how God's going to treat us. Well, let's expound on that some more today. God also is interested in teaching you individually in the Bible. So when you open your Bible and if you're doing it right and want God to teach you something, He's going to teach this guy here something different than He teaches this girl over here because she needs this and he needs that. Isn't that something? And if you do it right, God will help this guy grow and this girl grow and me grow and everybody that reads your Bible, they're all going to get the Bible because God's teaching them all individually. That's the Bible that I have. And that's the way it's supposed to be read. And you can't do that by on your mark, get set, go. That's good. Time's up, I've read 6 chapters. Ta-da! With a candy bar. No. It's not how much you read. It's how much you get out of what you read. Say that again. It's not how much you read. It's how much you get out of what you read. 95%, at least 95% of the verses I've memorized in the last 54 years came from reading my Bible. Can I say that again? 95% at least of the verses I've memorized came directly from reading my Bible, just the way I'm teaching you. You come along and you see a verse, say, hey, wait a minute. This is good. I stop and I think about it. And I think, wait, I need to do this, and I like this. This is good. I want to memorize this verse. See? And it's so important to do it that way. Now, let's go on to the next part. Digesting your spiritual food. Digesting your spiritual food. How many have ever been on a farm? Good. Now, old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on his farm he had a what? Cow. I don't know, most farmers, everybody has a farmer has a cow, right? Well, my grandpa, Klein, that was my dad, after my mom's dad, he had a farm all the way to Nova Scotia, and he had cows. Lots of cows. And I got there, and the first thing I heard when I got out of the car was, guess what? And I heard it the whole time it was there. I mean, I was only about your age the first time I went. And there's something I noticed about the cow. He wouldn't just do that. He'd do something else. And I said, Grandpa, did you give him a stick of gum or something? He's chewing something. And my grandpa piped up and said, yeah, you know what he's doing? He's chewing on the food he ate. And then he explained to me that a cow has 4 stomachs. Boy, would I like to have 4 stomachs. Wouldn't that be nice? 4 stomachs! And what they do is they take it 1 stomach and they come up and they chew it a little bit, then it goes back down and they chew it some more. You know what they're called? Chewing their cud. That's what we're supposed to do with our Bible reading. You digest it. You chew on it. You think about it. You ponder on it. This is how, remember the verse I quoted when we did the hike in the park, Psalm 119, verse 97? Oh, how love I the laws of my meditation all the day. How do we do that? Well, this is it. This is it. You find something in your Bible that God teaches you. You think about it, and you take it with you all day long, just like it is Psalm 119, verse 4. I was thinking about that all day long, off and on. God's commanded us, keep my precepts diligently. Thy precepts diligently. Man, that's good. I like that. And off and on, I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm meditating in God's Word, off and on, all day long. Oh, so that's how they do that. Now, I tell some people about memorizing the Scriptures, they say, I don't have time to memorize. Well, yes, you do. I tell them, take a couple of verse cards with you. Stick them in your purse or your pocket. You got 5 minutes, pull them out and review them. You'd be surprised how much time you got. Yeah. Back in the Old Testament, you know what they used to do? They talked about find the finger time about thy neck. Well, what they did was they took a leather strip, a band or something, they put it there with a tube, and that tube they put some Bible verses, and they pull them out every once in a while and meditate on them. Hello. That's how they did it. Yeah, it's about time we got back to doing some of this stuff. This is called meditating on God's Word. This is something a lot of people don't know about. But let me tell you a big secret. If you meditate on a verse that you like, what's going to happen is you're going to fall in love with it. You'll apply it to your life, but this is the good part. When you go to memorize it, it's going to be really, really easy. You know why? Because you've been thinking about it so much, you've got it mostly memorized already. Some people look at a verse and say, oh, this is so hard, I can't do it! Oh, yes, you can. The problem is you didn't do it right. If you meditate upon it, you think about it, you get excited about it, you'll want to learn it. Just like you like the patch the pipe, you know? Yeah. All right, you tippy toe peppers, you know, just like this. Yeah, I'm there, you know, so on. Yeah. Or, you all right now. Oh, you say, well, I know who that was. That was lightning, right? I think they sleep, I think they sleep, I think they just hold a lot, you know, or me think desert dogs speak with forked tongue.
Yeah. So I know who those are. You know why? Because you love those things. You love those characters. But wait a minute. If you fall in love with your Bible, you'll be able to think about it. Chew it up. That's why they're not giving you so much to read in the morning. They want you to think about it. Chew it up. That's why we don't have chapel all day long. We want you to be able to run and play and get some exercise, but also to think about what you heard during the day. Last night when you went back to your cabin, you had a devotion. Why for? To talk about what you've learned during the day. To digest it. You're chewing it up. And it makes all the sense in the world because you know what? God's Word is so, so important. Now, after all that's done, now you need to remember. You need to remember. Ah, yes. Take your Bible to Psalm 119, verse 93. There's a process here. Psalm 119, verse 93. It says, I will sometimes remember God's Word. Is that what it says? It says, I will never, never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. David was serious about this here. He said, I'm not going to forget this. I'm going to be a part of me. That's what you got to do with your Bible. I'm not going to forget this. Just like you don't forget something when it's good. My mom had a recipe for Jell-O. Anybody ever read The Cat in the Hat Comes Back? And they had this thing called Boom. You know, everything came in pink. Well, it was the same color as that, so we nicknamed what that was called Boom. Because this stuff is good. I mean, she made it special all the time, Boom. And when my mom said she was going to have Boom, everybody showed up for Boom. You know, everybody wanted that Boom stuff. Why? Because we delighted. We remembered the Boom. Even to this day, I can picture my mom serving Boom. Yeah, matter of fact, my wife has a recipe. I can't eat anymore because it's got sugar in it. But you know what? I still love Boom. Well, I remember that. This is the way you do with your Bible. Now, here's the process. You're reading. God teaches you something. You think about it. And then you digest it a little bit more. And now you want to remember it. So, here what I would do. This is what I would do. I have me a 3x5 card. And I'd be writing down this verse, referencing one side, the verse on the other, and then I say, wait a minute, what subject would this go underneath? Would this go under resisting temptation? Would this go under, doing obeying your parents or whatever? And I have everything all laid out topically. I call it different subjects. And what I'll do is I'll take that verse and I'll put it in there and I'll review it, reference, verse, and reference. But how do I want to remember it? But the reason I remember it is because God taught me something from it. And that's how you remember these verses. And they stick with you. I've been with many, many people, you know, and you go out visiting with them and say, oh, we're glad we got the preacher man with us. We go slow with him. Man, we don't need to have our Bibles. He's got it all in his heart right there in his head, you know. And then I come back and say, well, we wish you were here, man. We wish you had been in our back pockets. We got the door and we all we couldn't remember verses. You know why? They didn't review them right. All it was just a bunch of information. No. You're serious about this, boys and girls. Now here's the secret. You've got young minds. Brother Speckle was right. Some of the verses I memorized as a kid are some of my favorite verses today or the easiest. Why? Because your minds are still sharp. Very sharp. When you get older like me, your mind begins to be not so sharp, but you've got to keep it that way. Well, I have to keep my mind sharp as I review a lot of verses. My dad taught me that. He was 85 years old when he died, and his mind was so sharp, they were bringing computers to fix, cameras to fix. Why? Because he believed to keep his mind sharp, he memorized Scripture. But I'm telling you right now, you guys are like sponges. You can soak it up, you can eat it, you can drink it up, and you can memorize it and learn it, but don't just learn it for one day. Put it in your heart! Digest it. Make it part of you. Because if you get all that when you're age, man, I wish I would have started memorizing when I was your age. I didn't start memorizing seriously till I was 11 and a half, almost 12 years old. I wish I would have started earlier. Oh, I had the easy ones like John 3:16 or whatever. But remembering is so, so important. And if you do this, then they become a part of you for the rest of your life. And you'll be able to use these Bible verses over and over and over again. That's what I like about it, you know.
You know, with a real gun, you shoot the gun and the bullet leaves the trigger and the barrel and it's gone. But with the Bible gun, the bullet's always there. You can shoot it over and over and over again because it's right here in your heart. Oh, now see, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, write down this reference, please. Proverbs 7, verse 3. Some of you aren't going to like this. The teachers in here are. But Proverbs 7, verse 3. You ready? Here we go. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What are you trying to get at, preacher man? Well, have you ever wondered why your teacher makes you write out all those spelling words? Here's your answer. Right here. Because when you write them out, you're thinking about it, you're writing it out, you're seeing it, you're using a lot of your senses, and you begin to learn it. And I know when you get one wrong, I've been there, because I wasn't a good speller. You know, you get wrong, you've got to write it 15, 20 more times, right? There's a reason for that. They want you to learn it. So what I do with my verse cards is they're all handwritten. Every one of them. I get right in print. I write a reference on one side, the verse on the other, and the topic. I have a topic card for it. Why? Because I'm serious. I bind it upon my fingers. And that's what you're supposed to do with the Bible. That's why they have you take notes. That's why you write these Bible verses down. Because if you're like me, you know, the preacher man's quoting all these verses. Well, what was that verse? Well, hey, you've got it down right there. You can look it up later. This is the sweet thing about it. Find some of the favorite verses you like. Chew on them. Digest it a little bit. And then say, hey, I want to learn this verse and apply it to my life. Good way to find some verses, by the way. Little hint. There you are. Boy, that's good. Okay, now take your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. We're going to read through 11. Bible asks a question. It says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? Then it answers, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Now look at this. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my cell phone. Thy word have I hid in my tablet. Thy word have I hid in my notebook. Is that what it says? Where does it go supposed to be? I spit in that, boys and girls. I can't hear you. Oh, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I call these my bar of soap verses. Every day when you go to clean up, you have a bar of soap. You know, yeah, you get all cleaned up physically. Well, you know what? We also need to be cleaned up spiritually. And the Bible says, how can you cleanse your ways? By taking heed thereto according to what? The Bible! And it says you put your heart into it. Not like, well, I better do this again, or I know my cabin leader's going to be on me asking me how many of these things I've said. And you get home. Well, but you have a good time with someone, but they kept on making me learn all these Bible words. You know why? Your heart wasn't in it. Yeah! Oh, but your heart was into the volleyball. I'll bet your heart be into the captain of flag. Your heart was into that ham supper last night and those brownies. Oh, yeah! And I like that. I like that French toast this morning. I had sugar-free syrup. That was good stuff. Mm-hmm. Our heart was into that. We need to put our hearts into learning the Bible, and it makes it all the difference in the world. And my dad taught me all this about reading the Bible and digesting my Bible. It made all the difference in the world. Now, take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. What time we got to stop here, brother? Good, because I got some more here I want to present here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. I want you to see this verse. It's very important. It says, a wise man. Anybody here want to be wise? Yeah, okay. So, if you want to be wise, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. Now this is important, because the Bible has a whole different definition of hearing than you're used to. You think of hearing, well, hello, 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 it goes in one ear and out the other. I heard that real good, right? Okay, but the Bible's different here. It just doesn't say a wise man will hear. It says something else with it. A wise man will hear and will what? Increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. So, when you're hearing from the Bible, when you're a preacher preaching here, you're not just supposed to be hearing, you're supposed to be learning. Now, not too long ago, I got these things here. They're called hearing aids. Talk about feeling like an old man. But I'm glad I got them. My wife kept on telling me, she says, you're not hearing everything. You keep on asking, what did you say, what did you say? So she made me this doctor's appointment, went to the hearing doctor, and I thought, yeah, they'll tell me, and I just pipe up a little bit. Oh, no, they told me I had to have them both ears. So I went and I got them, and I was scared to death, and you know what? I put them in my ears, and it was wonderful. I could hear all this stuff, and I'm loving them now. I just love them to death. A good illustration about the Bible, you see? Because if you just read your Bible by reading, it's going to be kind of boring. But if you learn something out of it, say, oh man, this is good, and this is wonderful! And then I can hear all these things. I was out this morning meditating in the chapel after having my devotion. I went up there, did some more meditating, and while I'm sitting there, I can hear the birds in the background, yeah, and then the train in the background. I can hear, oh boy, this is great, man! Well, I like that with the Bible. We're supposed to hear and increase learning. That's what the Bible's all about. Now take your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73. Another word in there that we're emphasizing is learn. Thy hand has made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might what? Learn thy commandments. There's a difference between memorizing and learning. There's a difference between hearing and learning. And when you understand that, you'll be able to pay a lot more attention to a lot of things, including your schoolwork, your homework, but also, more importantly, the chapel services here, your Bible reading, and your cabin devotions and all that. Why? Because you want to learn. This mind of yours is eager to learn things. Now, if you're like me, this was the first year I was here, so I had no idea where anything was at. But in a matter of 15 minutes, I had pretty much understood where most things were at. It didn't take me at all long to learn all that stuff. You know why? I wanted to increase learning. I wanted to get to the place where I had to walk around with this map in my hand. Oh, let's see here. Where's my cabin at? I didn't want to. I want to join this place. So I learned it. That's the way you do with your Bible reading. You read it, and you digest it, and you learn it, and it makes all the difference in the world. I started doing this when I was 11 and a half years old. And now, about 55 years later, people look at me in amazement. They call me the walking Bible, the Bible answer man, the preacher man, and say, how in the wide world did you do that? And you're going to find a lot more about me Friday, because I'm going to tell a little bit about my testimony. You're going to be shocked when you hear it. But what I'm telling you is that this is my secret right here. My dad taught me this when I was your age, about reading my Bible, and you know what? It made all the difference in the world. Because this is your food. Just like we like this stuff here, and man, we love to, oh man, this is good stuff. Well, your Bible should be the same way. Because if you start having a bad attitude about reading your Bible at your age, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you get to be one of those bees over there? Oh, it's going to be awful. But if you get a hold of this, it'll change your life as it has mine. I mean, it literally changed my life. And you'll find out more about that Friday. So, remember, you are what you eat. How much do you really love that book in front of you? Something to think about, isn't it?